Welcome to episode 1243 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look with our chapter, Ripped from the Headlines, in which we examine Jesus's take on topics of contemporary relevance. How can we make sense of what's going on in our world today? How would Jesus respond to or counsel us about the issues that dominate our news feeds?
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers!
Jesus understood that people would use his name while completely abandoning his message. And tragically, that's exactly what has happened throughout history. In 1095, Pope Urban II called for the First Crusade to reclaim the Holy Land from Muslim control. Thousands of Europeans took up crosses and swords, believing they were doing God's work. The result? Mass slaughter. When Crusaders captured Jerusalem in 1099, they killed virtually everyone in the city. Muslims, Jews, and even Eastern Christians who had lived there peacefully for centuries. One account describes blood flowing ankle-deep in the streets. Think about this. People wearing the symbol of Christ's crucifixion were committing genocide in the very city where Jesus had preached, "Blessed are the peacemakers." This wasn't just one tragic mistake. The Crusades continued for nearly 200 years, with each campaign producing fresh atrocities, all justified as serving Christ. But let's remember what Jesus actually said about violence. In Matthew 26, verse 52, when Peter drew his sword to defend him, Jesus commanded,
"Put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword."
Jesus chose to be executed rather than fight back. He could have called down legions of angels, but instead he prayed for his executioners. The Crusades represent the complete opposite of Jesus' approach to conflict and enemies. If the Crusades were about external enemies, the Inquisition was about internal ones. Starting in the 12th century and continuing for centuries, the Catholic Church systematically persecuted anyone deemed a heretic. The methods were brutal: torture, forced confessions, public executions. The Spanish Inquisition alone killed thousands and terrorized entire populations. Jewish and Muslim communities were forced to convert or flee, their children taken from them, their property seized. All of this was done to preserve Christian orthodoxy by people claiming to follow the man who ate with tax collectors and sinners, who welcomed the woman caught in adultery, who told his followers to forgive 77 times, or 70 times 7. In John 8, verse 7, when religious leaders wanted to stone an adulteress, Jesus said,
"Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her."
But inquisitors threw stones, literal and metaphorical, while claiming moral superiority. Perhaps most tragically, tens of thousands of people, mostly women, were tortured and executed as witches by Christian authorities. The witch trials swept through Europe and colonial America, destroying entire communities with paranoia and violence. The witch trials were essentially a systematic attack on women's autonomy, knowledge, and social power, wrapped in religious justification. They occurred at a time when traditional social structures were being challenged, and women became convenient scapegoats for broader social anxieties. If you were poor, you were desperate and therefore dangerous. If you were prosperous, you must have made a deal with the devil. If you were social, you were spreading evil influence. If you were isolated, you were clearly up to something sinister. If you confessed under torture, you were guilty. If you maintained innocence, you were stubbornly serving Satan. These weren't random acts of mob violence. They were systematic campaigns led by Christian leaders who believed they were protecting their communities from evil. But Jesus consistently protected vulnerable women. He defended the woman who anointed his feet, healed the woman with chronic bleeding, and showed mercy to women society had rejected. The witch trials represent the complete inversion of Jesus's ministry. Instead of protecting the vulnerable, Christians made them targets. Some of history's greatest atrocities were committed by Christians who had convinced themselves that oppression was godly. For over 300 years, millions of Africans were enslaved by Christian nations. Ships carried human cargo across the Atlantic, while their captains held prayer services on deck. Churches owned plantations worked by enslaved people. Christian theologians developed elaborate arguments for why slavery was biblically justified. But let's remember Jesus' inaugural sermon in Luke 4, verses 18 to 19.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Jesus came to set the oppressed free. His followers created systems of oppression. In Galatians 3, verse 28, Paul wrote that in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Yet Christians maintained racial hierarchies for centuries. When Europeans colonized the Americas, they often framed the destruction of indigenous peoples as spreading Christian civilization. The doctrine of discovery claimed that Christian nations had divine right to claim lands inhabited by non-Christians. Millions of indigenous people died from disease, warfare, and forced displacement. Their children were taken from families and placed in boarding schools designed to kill the Indian, save the man. Sacred sites were destroyed, languages forbidden, cultures systematically erased. All in the name of bringing people to Jesus, the same Jesus who said in Matthew 19, verse 14,
"Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them."
For centuries, Christian leaders promoted anti-Semitism, accusing Jews of killing Christ and spreading conspiracy theories about blood sacrifice and well poisoning. Jews were forced into ghettos, expelled from countries, and subjected to periodic massacres, often during Christian holy days. This centuries-long pattern of Christian anti-Semitism created the cultural foundation that made the Holocaust possible. While Hitler wasn't motivated by Christian faith, his genocide succeeded partly because Christian Europe had already dehumanized Jewish people for generations. The tragedy is that Jesus himself was Jewish. His mother was Jewish, his disciples were Jewish, his earliest followers were Jewish. Anti-Semitism is literally hatred of Jesus' own people. In John 4, verse 22, Jesus told the Samaritan woman,
"Salvation is from the Jews."
Yet Christians spent centuries persecuting the very people through whom, according to their own theology, salvation came into the world. These acts are especially horrific because they directly contradict Jesus' core teachings. Jesus said, "Love your enemies," yet Christians waged holy wars. Jesus welcomed outcasts and marginalized people, yet Christians created systems of exclusion. Jesus rejected violence, even in self-defense, yet Christians used violence to spread faith. Jesus served the poor and powerless, yet Christians often aligned with wealth and power. Jesus preached mercy and forgiveness, yet Christians created systems of punishment and condemnation. Running through all these atrocities is a common thread. What happens when Christianity becomes more about power than about following Jesus? We see echoes of this today when Christianity becomes primarily about political power rather than spiritual transformation. When Christian leaders care more about winning elections than washing feet. When churches split over politics more than theology. When Jesus becomes a mascot for nationalism rather than a model for sacrificial love. The lesson from history is clear. Christianity is most dangerous when it forgets that Jesus rejected earthly power and chose the cross instead. The cross stands as a permanent reminder that God's power looks nothing like human power, and God's kingdom operates by completely different rules than earthly kingdoms. May we have the wisdom to remember that, and the courage to live it. Father, give us clarity and courage to follow your Son in truth and love. Help us to discern when our faith is becoming entangled in power and pride, rather than rooted in humility and grace. May we walk the way of the cross, not in word only, but in how we live, love, and lead. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,